passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
To have all of you here, middle of the week, championship game now 2 days in the rear view mirror. And I started thinking today back to 1993. It was January 1st when Alabama won its first national championship post-Bryant. They wouldn't win another one until the 2009 season. And the head coach of that epic night in New Orleans over the win over Miami was Gene Stallings, the legendary Hall of Fame coach. And we're always excited to be reunited with our friend Coach Stallings. First of all, Coach, really great to talk to you, and certainly hope everything is going well. Good afternoon.
Oh, what a joy it is to be back on your show, my friend.
Well, I always worry everybody I run into that has seen you or has come in contact with you. I'm always curious how you're doing. I know about a year ago or a little bit more, you were having some issues, but I'm guessing that, I'm hoping maybe more than guessing, that everything is going well.
Everything is going well. I'm doing about as well as I can, and thoroughly enjoyed the football season, and it's sort of a loss now for who to be watching on Saturday and watch a little of pro, I guess, but I'm more of a college fan than I am pro man.
No, we are too, and I'll start there because I'll go back a week and a couple of days. Alabama out in the Rose Bowl, and then Michigan and Washington. Just first of all, yeah, Michigan, we always talk
Michigan
about...
Michigan won a big game, and then, you know, Washington was an awfully good football team, and then Texas was probably number three, and then probably Georgia was in Alabama 4 and 5 right in that area if we were going to rank them now when the season was over.
Coach, I assume you watched the Alabama game. It was a tough way to end the season on a play that just got stuffed, but I can remember that it looked like some Gene Stallings defense on the other side stopping that run, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I thought sure in the world that Alabama would go ahead and score the touchdown, but they didn't do it. But anyway, they had a good year, and it was a good season to be watching.
Coach, I was thinking of you a little bit because a lot of commentators in relation to Jim Harbaugh described him as a throwback. He's, of course, a protege of Bo Schembechler, who was a hard-nosed football coach, as you well know. What are your thoughts on what we saw this year from the national champion, especially Coach Harbaugh?
Yeah, well, he's done an outstanding job. Now, I played Michigan. The last game I coached was against Michigan. And I don't know whether he was coaching there or not. I don't think he was.
I think he was just gone.
Say that again?
I think he had just retired, Coach.
Right. Anyway, he done an outstanding job. And you know, it was a good year. And Michigan had an outstanding football team. And Washington was good. I guess in this part of the world, University of Texas and Georgia and Alabama was probably 3, 4, and 5.
Well, Coach, I want to ask you about Texas A&M. We all know you went there. You were one of the Junction boys. And people, I've said this years ago, but I'll say it again, and I know you won't take credit for it, but one of the major reasons why Texas A&M is in the SEC is because of our guest. He was a trust. You were a regent at the time and really helped educate a lot of Aggies about the SEC. Just your thoughts on that season. Jimbo Fisher gets blown out in November. A new coach has come in. Your thoughts on your alma mater?
A&M needs a good football team. They hadn't had one in several years, and I was hoping that Jimbo would do it, but I don't guess he did. And they've got a new coach, and the excitement is still high at A&M. And so hopefully they'll have a good year this year.
Coach, that's something that I'm always, I mean, I know Alabama fans are one thing, but A&M fans are a little bit different. But it is one of the proudest fan bases in the country for a lot of reasons. But still, it just doesn't seem like A&M can ever get from point A to point be without some interference. As somebody who used to play a big role in that program, as coach there in the 60s, what do you think it is? Or is it just the SEC, the difficulty of it?
I think it's probably, that's probably the answer. It's just a difficult conference, and it's difficult to win in the SEC. You play a tough game every weekend, and after a while, it's gonna wear on you. But I think A&M's is going in the right direction. They feel comfortable with their new coach, and I try to follow them as well as I can just on television. But they need to have a good year.
Coach Gene Stallings with us, of course, who played for Coach Bryant at A&M, later became the head coach. Coach Bryant, of course, was the head coach at Alabama and was also in the NFL. And man, Coach, I look up every day, every hour at ESPN, and there's another NFL coach going down. I just saw where Pete Carroll, who has won a Super Bowl and a national championship, is apparently out. I know you don't miss the NFL, do you? You also were a legendary coach under Tom Landry at the Cowboys.
Well, I do, and Pete Carroll was a good coach, and did you say he got fired?
It looks like they haven't announced it yet, other than to say that he will no longer be the head coach. He'll be I think he's being given the opportunity to be in the front office, whatever that means.
Right. I don't either. I don't know either, but I hate to see any coach be put aside.
What's really interesting is I knew this, but I was talking yesterday on one of the shows about the Cowboys, and the idea that the Cowboys have not been in a championship game since 1995. I mean, I realize you live north of Dallas, but that's hard to believe.
It really is. Coach Landry was, when I think of the Cowboys, I don't really think much past Coach Landry. What an outstanding coach he was, what an outstanding human being he was. And he did a super job, but they've got a coach now that they feel like they're comfortable with, and hopefully he'll get them on the right direction.
Coach, I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but I had right after you got to Alabama, we were doing like everybody a big story on you, and I had I got an interview with Coach Landry, and I grew up a Cowboys fan. I don't know if I've ever been more nervous in my life talking to somebody, but he couldn't have been nicer, as you well know.
He was just an outstanding human being, and the most qualified coach that I know. He knew a little bit about every position. Obviously, he was head coach, and now they have coordinators to do all the making the decisions and so forth. But Coach Landry ran the Cowboys when I was coaching there.
Coach, I know something that you're proud of are the coaches that you helped develop and the players that went on. And I think of you because I was at an event a couple of weeks ago in Birmingham, and one of the sponsors was Dabo Sweeney. They were honoring the team from 1973, the first team at Alabama to win a national championship that had broken the color barrier. But you are so closely connected to Dabo Sweeney, who's won a few national championships of his own. He was a walk-on. That's a story that I know you're proud of.
I really am, and I gave him a scholarship, and I'm proud of that fact, too, that he was a walk-on, earned himself a scholarship, and later became the coach of the year, and just a super job at Clemson. I've got a granddaughter that works for him at Clemson.
Oh, really?
So I keep up with what Clemson's doing quite frequently.
That is really amazing. Coach, I always hasten to ask you about the current state of college football, and I've been around a while. It's shocking to hear. I was reading something the other day that the average player at a major school is getting between $300,000 and $400,000 to enter, and we all know in the transfer portal the numbers are up in the millions. To say the least, I doubt that you recognize the game that you played in and was such an excellent coach in.
Well, it's sad to me that money speaks, and there was a time when you do things now that they'll put you on probation for. And they're proud of the fact that they buy this particular player and that particular player, and I'm a little opposed to all that.
Yeah, I don't know what what they put you on probation for anymore, because it seems like it's just, as many coaches have said, it's just flat-out free agency, isn't it?
We were put on probation for something that was very, very simple, and they said that I had talked to a player and encouraged him to go to Alabama, and that was nothing was further from the truth. Ruth Ann was with me when I was having the conversation. But anyway, that's bygones is bygones, but I still hate that I was on probation for a certain period of time.
Well, Coach, I mean, and I covered that story. Bottom line is you had a player that signed with an agent and the university. And what you did, and I'm not sure we understood it at the time, that you just simply weren't going to take it. And you spoke out, and I think you the school suffered because you were being honest with the NCAA.
Right. That's absolutely right, Paul. And I knew that you would remember all that a whole lot better than I did, but I did suffer, but I did what I thought was right, and I had to do it over, and I'd do the same thing.
Well, Coach, you know why I remembered it so well. I was on, I wrote an article being critical of you, and you once had a line. We were playing golf together in a pro-am, and you said, I asked you, I said, Coach Stallings, does this make you nervous? And you said, no, this doesn't make me nervous. He said, what makes me nervous is picking up your column the day after a loss and seeing what you had to say about me.
And that was absolutely true. Playing golf with you wasn't any problem compared to that.
But the worst moment I think I had during your tenure, and I'm going to remind you of this in a second, is I said, I don't know what I said, and you know me back then. I was a lot younger and crazier. I wrote some article, questioning your integrity, Coach Stallings, which sounds ridiculous now because you know how I feel about you. And a couple of days later, I got a letter, something that you rarely get anymore, and it was from Ruth Ann Stallings. And I don't know if I've ever been laid lower in my life than your wife telling me how I didn't know you at all, and if I had taken the time to get to know you, I would have never questioned your integrity.
Well, I know that, but you know how these wives are. Ruth Ann, she was very protective of me when I was coaching in my career, and I appreciated her for it. But those years gone by, and she has great appreciation for you now, Paul.
Well, and Coach, I always think about when I talk to you, because I know how much time and work and how many tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars have been raised for the Rise Foundation. But I'll never forget 31 years ago last week watching you win the national championship in the Sugar Bowl against Miami. But more important than that, interviewing Johnny after the game and telling me and other reporters how proud he was of his pop.
I can still hear him right now. He looked at me and he said, good job, Pop. That's about all he said. We was in the little room after the game and he said, good job, Pop. That's about as good as it gets.
Coach, I don't. None of us know what's ahead, but I will tell you the joy that you your son brought to so many people in Alabama will never be forgotten.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. I really do.
Well, Coach, we just wanted to see how you were, get a check after the season, and I am. I know so many people across this country, especially in Alabama, where you are beloved, are thrilled to hear your voice and to know that you're doing well.
Paul, I'm doing about as well as I can. I really am. We're getting ready for some bad weather in this part of the country, and it's going to be extremely cold, but I've got a good fireplace, and I'm going to stay warm, and hopefully it'll be some good games to watch.
I hope so. Well, Coach, best to the family, and thank you for making time for us.
Paul, it's always a joy, and you're one of my favorites, my friends. Stay in touch.
We will. Thank you, Coach. Coach Dean Stallings, great to join us from Paris, Texas, just north of Dallas, 88 years old, and just a pleasure to talk to him any day of the week. We will take a break because we have a lot more to do. Jerry Tipton, legendary career, just retired after 41 years of covering Kentucky. He's got a book out. Tom Luganville, too young to retire. He'll join us at 5:30.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Of breaking news, and this is very big news. LSU continues to shore up a coaching staff that was a little bit wishy-washy last year. Not anymore. Bo Davis returning to LSU as a defensive line coach. He played there. He coached for Saban. He has been in Texas, and he is considered among the elite line coaches in America. The staff that BK is putting together is starting to feel like a national championship staff. Just saying. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Daryl is up next in Texas. Hello, Daryl.
Good afternoon, Paul. Just enjoyed your interview with Coach Stallings, being a big fan and friend of theirs. Understand there's a documentary in works. Wondered what you could share with us about that.
Yeah, I do know about that, and we have a clip of it. We just got it, so we're going to share it with you a little bit later on. But it is in the works, and I first heard about it when we were in Tuscaloosa a couple of months ago. But I tell you what, we will play that. We'll play a short clip of that in a couple of minutes, and then give you some more information on when it will be on. Thank you very, very much for the phone call. Tony is up next. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, sir? How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Just to share a quick little story about Gene Stallings. Military brought me to Montgomery, Alabama about 10-plus years ago. And going through life, starting a family. In the summer of 16, we had an 18-month-old daughter, and we were pregnant with our second daughter. And I'm at work one day. I get a phone call from a number I don't recognize, and I just ignore it. So immediately afterwards, I get a phone call from my father-in-law, and of course, you have to answer that. So I answer that. I said, "Hey, sir, what's going on?" He says, "You better answer that phone call. They're going to call you back in about 2 minutes." He hung up. I said, "What in God's name?" So phone call, same number rings again. I answer it, and I said, "Hello." Said, "Hey, this is Mr. Gene Stallings." I said, "Well, how you doing, sir?" I had no idea why he'd be calling me. Well, our second pregnancy with our second daughter, one of the tests showed up positive potentially for Down syndrome gene. So we were praying on it and, hoping, and looking for the best. And Gene says, "Hey, I understand what happened. Your father-in-law called me and told me, he said, this is not a sad thing. This is not a bad thing. He said you would be blessed to have a child with Down syndrome. He said it would bring you and your wife closer, make you better parents, and make you better Christians." And then he shared some stories about Johnny. and our daughter came out normal, if that's the proper word. He's, you know, in first grade now, heck of a student, heck of a ball player. But he really, truly eased our minds just by a simple phone call saying, hey, this is potentially a blessing. Don't look at it as something negative. So when he talked about Coach Landry being a good human being, I would have to say that Gene Stallings absolutely fits in that moniker as well.
Yeah, you know, Tony, I didn't bring it up because I guess maybe I should have, because we've talked about it so many times, but he has told the story of the day they had Johnny. He had a couple of other older children, and he was so disturbed and so distressed when he found out he was down that Coach Stallings passed out. And he said it went from being the worst day of his life to the best thing that's ever happened to him, just like you said, from personal experience. And that really became one of his causes. And I think it changed Coach Stallings immensely. And I mean, I've been around him at a number of events for the Rise Foundation. And there's just no telling what he has meant to that cause.
Yes, sir. And like I said, I just wanted to share that because, you know, I know this isn't a religious show, but God works in mysterious ways. And Coach Stallings has an extremely strong faith. And it just so happens I had to leave work early for something going on at the house. And I click on your show as it starts, and there's Gene Stallings. It just brought back that memory, and I just wanted to share that. He's just a wonderful man.
Tony, thank you very, very much. And I've told, I don't know when, when you know somebody as long as we've known Coach Stallings, you tend to think everybody's heard every story, and I realize you haven't. But a number of years ago, Coach Stallings, back in the, for when we had the Birmingham show, he was a regular weekly guest every Monday. And something was going on. He had a sponsor, and there was a conflict. And he called me one day and was really upset. And, yeah, I did what anybody would do. If Coach Stallings calls you, I mean, you could be in the middle of having your wisdom teeth taken out. You would call him back. So I called him back as soon as I got the message. And you know, this was before texting and all the things that that we now have. And I called, he's got a ranch, a big ranch. So I called, and John Mark answered the phone, Johnny. And I said, hey, Johnny. He said, hey, how you doing? You know, I mean, John, is the gentleman we were talking about a minute ago, but down. And we had a nice conversation. I said, listen, I need to talk to your dad. I said, can you make sure he gets a message? He goes, of course. So the next day, I get a call from Gene Stallings, and he is hopping mad. He goes, oh, Gene Stallings. I go, he said, how come you didn't call me back? I go, well, Coach, Coach, I mean, you hate to interrupt Coach Stallings, but I said, Coach, hold on a second. And I think he said, well, are you interrupting me? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, speak. I said, yes, sir. He goes, I said, I called yesterday. He said, no, you didn't. I said, no, I talked to John. He said, you talked to Johnny? I said, yeah. And then he just started laughing. I mean, he was cackling. I said, what's so funny? He said, well, you know Johnny's not going to ever give me the message. And all of a sudden, it lessened the toxicity in the air, and we ended up having a great conversation. But I mean, he took such pride in John and Johnny, and it's always so special. I mean, I realize he's 88 years old and he's doing well, but it's just there's a tinge of sadness every time we talk to him, just thinking about what he has meant and the contribution that he has made off the football field. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here on the show that never ends. Let's Bulldog is up next in Los Angeles. Hello, Bulldog.
Hello, brother. You know, I know I'm late. Happy New Year. As far as the college football, see, I hate to see it go, man. But as a Georgia fan, I'm kind of perturbed that we're ranked in the final rankings, number four, behind a two-loss Texas team. You know, I'll give you Michigan.
Hey, by the way, did you see? Did you see where Nick Saban, his final rankings had? He ranked in Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama, and Georgia.
Wow, wow! Bless his heart. I know that thing goes deep with him with the rivalry with Alabama and Georgia, but they got two losses, man. And to their credit, they put that only loss on there, and we didn't get the chance to three-peat. But being ranked behind a two-loss Texas team, that kind of – and I pay attention to that kind of thing. But I can't wait for the season, man. It's coming up. It's only January. I looked at our schedule. It's daunting. But I'm flying down September 28th for the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa. And, yes, I'm going to buy my boy Jimmy Tuscaloosa a beer, as I promised. I'm good on my promise. That goes back to my Marine Corps days 30-some years ago. I'm good on my word, Jimmy, if you're listening. You know, it's not a hate factor with me. I've said that many times ago, relative to Alabama. But it's nothing else. I'm going for the experience. I've never been to Tuscaloosa, wearing my Georgia jerseys and all that. But that's neither here nor there. I just hate that the season's over with. And congratulations to Michigan. But now that it's over, man, you know, it's one of those things that we got to move on, Paul. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I really ain't got nothing. I just want to wish you a happy new year. I love all your callers. But, you know, it's one of those things where, oh, Doc, I got to pay attention to the NBA now, you know. So
your poor
thanks
thing.
For the time, brother.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Bulldog. Okay. Where every game matters less. Bill is up next in Texas. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Paul, I really love your show. I've talked to you a couple of times, maybe once a year. I am a man of faith. I know you are. I love you getting back with me on this because Gene Stallings was such an inspirational guy. I cannot understand, and it irritates me dramatically, why ESPN and the network TVs refuses to show young men, coaches of faith, gathering at the end of the game, both teams, in prayer. It happens at every game. I know it happens in the SEC, and I know it happens in some of the other conferences. And these guys get together. They know each other. They played against each other. They love each other, and they gather and they pray together. But it won't show up on TV. And we see these players, some of them using the glare protection on their cheeks in the shape of a cross. There's a reason for that. They're proud of their faith, and they're proud of their testimony.
Well, Bill, I agree with you. I agree with you when you see opponents come together as one. It is a great thought. It is a great scene. And one thing I don't know is what goes into the decisions at this or any other network. I am, whatever you may think of me, I can assure you I am a nobody at this company, and I don't know how they come up with anything that they do other than allowing me in here every day.
Well, I know that. I mean, I'm ex of radio and TV and program directors, and those guys are responsible for what they program and how they administer that. It's just that men of faith
aren't recognized as they should be for leaders. I mean, these coaches, a great number of them in all of the conferences, are men of faith, and they share
we know it's a big part of what they do, but when I was a writer, I used to write about it occasionally, because you would have a moment or two that really was transformative. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We'll see if we can get some more information on that. Maybe the next caller could answer that question. Dwayne is up next in Louisiana.
Boom! And that's my fireworks, huh? We setting out the fireworks. You tell Legend, Iron Man, Jim from Tuscaloosa, Ricky, tell them all. We about to be number one. Hey, we about to take over the football world. We about to take down Alabama's history. Ain't no more Nick Saban, Paul. It ain't no more Nick Saban, Paul. I'm telling you that now. What you say?
I think you're crazy.
Huh? Why you don't think I'm crazy, man? On New Year's, huh? Just bringing in the New Year's thing.
Hey, Dwayne, tell me this. Other than the 2019 season, can you tell me the last time LSU was ranked higher than Alabama at the end of the season?
I can
tell you what it was. 2007. So one time.
2007.
One time in 17 years, LSU has outranked Alabama, and you're telling me that the winds of change are here.
Yeah, it's the wind changing. Hey, it's blowing. No more rolling tide. The elephant ain't coming down that street no more. I know the elephant ain't stomping down that street no more. But that tiger about to come out now. We about to win the next couple championships down in Baton Rouge. That staff we putting together. And plus next year, we got the number one class next year. We got 3 5-stars already on that commitment board.
But Wayne, next year, Alabama has probably turned down 3 5-stars.
No, they didn't. That Nick Saban ain't gonna do that. He pulled his hair out. Nick Saban stopped cursing on TV and everything, like he do all the time. He stopped pulling his hair out, throw that microphone down. You know that. You know what he'll do. He need a talent. He need them big boys. But we got them now. Hey, see that defensive line coach we got coming in? He's gonna make $1 million over there in Texas. How much you think Brian Kelly paying him?
I don't know.
Huh? What you think? Probably, give me your assessment.
I'd say he probably doubled his salary.
To $2 million?
I don't know. I mean, nobody. I don't know what anybody makes.
I say about $1.2 million. About $1.2 million. 1.2.
Could you, Dwayne, could you live on $1.2 million?
Man, I'll do some wonders, man. I'll do some wonders. I'll be, hey.
Okay, hey, okay, Dwayne, hey. tell me this. If I gave you $1.2 million, how would it change your life?
I'll be smart with the money. I ain't gonna be no fool now. Okay. I ain't gonna be.
So you're going to put it away and save it.
I'll put it up, and then put on. I'll try to buy me some land and put a condo. Buy me like 4 or 5 units.
So you wouldn't. If I said, "Hey, Dwayne, you're making $1 million now. Let's go. Let's grab a.
That
let's go.
Ain't
why don't we rent a plane and go down to St. Bart's for the weekend?"
No, I ain't gonna do like you yesterday. Go to Miami with Luke. Go to Miami.
Hey, by the way, you're invited. I would like you to be my guest when we go out with Uncle Luke.
No, indeed. You gotta be butt naked in there. I don't think you would get butt naked in what Luke trying to bring you.
Oh, hey, why not?
You gotta be butt naked.
You think I work out at my age just so I can look good on TV? It's about going clubbing with Uncle Luke.
I know you gotta get butt naked. You gotta go butt naked.
I'll do it. I'll do it if you'll do it.
Yeah, all right. Hey, that's championship LSU, baby. We'll be on the rise.
I hear you, Dwayne. Talk to you in a minute. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is up next in Indiana, late here in the first hour of the show. Hey, Miles.
Hey, Paul, how's it going? I got a quick question for you, man. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
You know the answer to that? You recognize this voice?
I do.
See, you know, I want to thank you.
My favorite coach in America, that's Jim Harbaugh.
That's right. Thank you for apologizing, taking my word and apologizing for us, man. You know, you offered me that plane ticket to come down there and do your show for you.
I did.
I went ahead and tweeted at you. I was waiting for that, man, but not a man of your word. That's all right, though, man. I was ready to get up there, you know, had my sheet ready for the, you know, for the game. But, I mean, you know, they call us the leaders and the best for a reason. You know that?
It's a Michigan world. That's why I wear blue every day.
That's right. Hey. LSU can get all those stars they want. We just told you that stars don't matter.
I'm just waiting for my invitation to the championship parade.
Hey, man. Wait, I'll get you an invitation to
I'll
that once you give me a plane ticket to your show.
Oh, right? Listen, I got enough frequent flyer mileage. You could bring your whole family down. Wouldn't put a dent in me.
I want you to be a man of your word. I want you to sing the victors. Live on air. I'm watching it right now as I'm talking to the phone. I want you to sing the victors, man. I'll sing it with you. I know you love Jim Harbaugh.
Hey, Miles, you're pushing your luck now. Bash is in Boulder. Let's get to a real caller.
My Bash, Brother Paul, how you doing today?
Man, you know, you give these Michigan fans an inch, Bash, and they want the whole continent.
It's nothing unexpected being from the SEC. Once you give these Big Ten champions a little taste of a national championship, they pretend like they're the new dynasty. But we all know what the real story is, Paul. You and I have both discussed Jim Harbaugh is about to leave Michigan abandoned, and he's going to go to the NFL. So let these Michigan fans just have their fun, their 15 minutes of fame, and then while we are getting ready for basketball season, they'll be the most irrelevant national champion since Georgia last year.
That's one way to put it. Hey, thanks, Bash. Great to hear from you. Todd is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Todd. Todd, you there? Obviously not an experienced caller there. Rick is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Buddy, I tell you one thing. I don't think any of us would ever want to see Dwayne butt naked. You know what I mean?
No. Listen, I didn't think anybody would really want to see me, but there are worse sights, I think.
I believe so. Well, Paul, you know what today? Today is a sad day in the annals of LSU football history. It's the 44th anniversary of the death of Bo Ryan.
Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, today's the day that the plane crashed out over the Atlantic. You know, Paul, it's easy to romanticize things and you know, believe that things would have been a certain way, but I truly believe that set LSU football back a number of years.
No question.
You know, I really think that Coach Ryan could have been Nick Saban before Nick Saban. I mean, a young dynamic coach who would have changed the way that LSU definitely would have changed the way LSU played offense. I mean, he was only 34 years old, and if you think about, you know, some of his contemporaries during that time, Pete Carroll was around that same age at that time and was coaching with was working for Monty Kiffin. Just to me, you know, nothing against, you know, Coach Stovall. Coach Arnsberger was really good at LSU, but everybody knew that he'd go back to the pros, and then it was, you know, Mike Archer, Curly Holman, and Jerry Nannardo.
No, I mean, Arnsberger really is the only one of that group that was legitimate. I fell for Mike Archer. I thought he would be good, but he wasn't.
Yeah, he had the one good year after Arnsberger left. But you know, if you think about it, that if Coach Ryan had been been successful during that time frame, most likely LSU would have had Dale Brown, Sue Gunner, Skip Bertman, and Bo Ryan.
Right.
That would have been, I mean, that would have rivaled anybody's coaching across the major sports. But, you know, it's a sad thing, but, you know, we all have to believe that God had a reason. There's a purpose behind it. But, you know, I sure think that it set LSU back.
Well said, and appreciate the members. I remember talking to Bo's wife a couple of years ago when that special came out. We'll take a short break.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.